we get to the beach vacation part of the business plan, because right now we're not there.
Well, you know, this morning even, you know, I was thinking about it, you know. The alarm goes off, Gail gets up, makes coffee, she starts getting ready for work, and I couldn't even sit there and drink my coffee for a half an hour without actually getting up, firing up the laptop, checking my email, checking to see whether a support question on the forum upgrade that I have to do tonight has been answered. Because it's gotten to the point where it's become like a feedback loop of and I can't stop the acceleration. And I'm thinking, this is insane.
Yeah. You know what I did? You know how I celebrated my youngest daughter's birthday, John?
How?
By sitting back here and doing shows. She came back before bed and said, "Good night, Daddy. I love you." And I looked at her and I said, "Happy birthday."
Ooh.
Are we doing this because of some ego? Are we doing this because... No. Never mind all the rhetorical questions. No. We're doing this because somebody's got to be up front. Somebody's got to fight the damn battle. The people that are trying to get along on terrestrial radio... Oh, you know that Hartman got dumped off New York today, right?
I saw that in the chat.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be doing this. I'm seeing in the chat room. I'm seeing in the chat room. Please do something special with her on the weekend, Bob. Sorry, can't. That's how important this all is.
Yeah,
I can't take my family to a movie.
We built this monster and now we're stuck in it.
And all kidding aside, we love the monster too, John.
Well, yeah, that's the point. You know, we've actually created something that is become much larger than you know, the group of us.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, absolutely. And we see it, and there's so much value to it. To see people interacting with each other, to see miles of distance closing, to see people having the enforced isolation of the professional media and the right-wing shout brigades reject it and participate in conversation and discussion. It's beautiful. It's like watching a birth, isn't it, John?
Yeah, I got an idea, Bob. We're
yeah,
we're
we've
running
run,
up on
we did it again.
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. But I actually think that this is something that we should continue on a bit, because we've been rallying and kind of over the top and emotional about some things over the last couple of days. And to be perfectly honest, I've been going so mad that I have done virtually no show prep. So it was going to be just a free-for-all. So why don't we do the changeover? We'll come back. We'll do the Billy Shears spot. You and I can breathe for a few minutes while we play that.
And open the phones.
And then you and I can talk about this stuff a little bit more, because I actually think that it's important, and I really am not in the mood to just read, you know, more depressing environmental crap today. I'm not into it.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple of gigglers out there, so I think maybe I can help along those lines. I'll see you on the other side, brother.
Okay, man.
All right. And in the meantime, here's the late, great Lowell George reminding you and me to...
this is a top to you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show, right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Foxed Up here from Sydney, Australia, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, all depending on where you are in this beautiful blue marble, such as it still is. And when it's Thursday night, you know that that means it's Billy Shear's music night, which we're going to get to in just a second. If you're listening to the horn section, I made the suggestion to Bob that we should just kind of carry over the discussion into my program, because, you know, I do believe that the process of this election and the fact that it began as soon as the midterms were over, and we've been campaigning since, you know, shortly after George Bush got into office, that I think after all this time, we're losing our marbles a bit. And this is what happens to people when emotion just, you know, you can't run on emotion so long. And I think it might explain a lot of what's been going on lately. It's just, you know, it's just too much for anyone to handle. None of us have had a break. I mean, you know, the time that the volunteers to this network spend helping us keep this thing going, you know, the bloggers and the mods and you know, now we've got Lonnie involved with the message boards, and it's all so amazing what we've created here. But you know, it's hard. And like I said, this is not, you know, woe is me. That's not what this is about. This is just, you know, it's one of the reasons that I dig that we have stuff like Billy Shear's, you know. We put the politics and the causes and the strain and the fights and all that away for a few hours, and we all get to just kind of hang, because we don't get to do that. And I mean, the relationships that we've built with a whole bunch of people that have never actually met face-to-face. You know, I've never been able to, you know, put my arms around Peter Gobbold, someone who I have grown to love as a human being more than many people that I know face to face. You know, Bob Kincaid and I, you know, have, I think, become, you know, a couple of the tightest friends that I've ever experienced in my life.
Short of sharing a liver, John. You know. But... You know, or being joined at the hip or something. Yeah, I mean, oh.
You know, it, you know, I mean, the day is going to come where, you know, you, me, the bunch of us are going to get together, and I swear the headache the next day is going to be something that's going to need to be brought in by freight train.
You know, and you know, some of the stuff you say, John, and I want to go ahead and get started with Billy Shear's music. But some of the stuff you say is so very true. Where was I going? Took that one right out and killed it. Poor little brain cell died before my very eyes. We've got Michael and his significant other, who are filmmakers, and I'm going to tattle on them. They've been talking about how cool it would be to make a Horn documentary, and they're not committed. I'm not committed. Nobody's committed. I'm no pressure here. But if we get to do the Denver convention, they've talked very seriously about doing a documentary of, you know, the Horn goes to Denver. And how cool would that be? And it would and finally give people a chance to see what's going on behind the scenes. What makes this happen? Because it's radio, and you know, it's theater of the mind, and you got to imagine everybody. I would appreciate it if you would all imagine me with a fabulous tan, about 6'4" tall, and about 80 pounds lighter than I am. Thank you. I'll leave. Agnes is just fine. I just can't figure her out. Why she stays? Could it be love? I don't know. But you're absolutely, that's what I was going to get to, you know, giving people an idea of how this all works, and maybe having folks shoot, the folks who are behind the scenes here, shoot video of themselves, you know, doing what they do, and weave it all into a little documentary film, you know, how to do what Air America does on a millionth of Air America's budget. How would that be? How to do what Air America does without being a bunch of horses' asses.
I still remember when Air America launched, and
it was exciting.
I still stand by the fact that I still say that Morning Sedition is still one of the greatest bits of organic radio to come out of the United States in a decade. You know, they didn't know what the hell they were doing when they first started, and they turned that thing into one of the most entertaining and fun bits of radio. They dealt with heavy stuff, but yet had fun. They did a smart morning show, but then it just, you know, for whatever reason,
it was entirely too good to last.
Yeah, you know, Mark Maron, I used to get it at night. Genius, absolute genius.
Mark Riley.
It was what Mark Maron helped bring out of, you know, O'Reilly. Because, you know, Riley, when he went solo, it was like vacuous, you know? It was the dynamic of those two. And it was about the personalities, and they had this great crew that worked obviously painfully hard to create great stuff, you know. And yeah, Chuck D has survived, but where have they? What have they done to him? They've stuck him on at, all the way off, and you know,
they sent him to the radio ghetto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, John, let's go, if you don't mind. Let's go ahead and jump to Shear's music, and then we can open the phones and. We had some fun with music last night. Maybe we can do that a couple more times. And I've got a real sick one for you too.
Okay. Well, I'll just set it up real quick. In continuing the series of Lennon on Lennon, Blame It on Bermuda, I believe we're up to part 4 at the moment. And I do appreciate Billy even getting this to me this week, due to the fact that he's had a loss in his family, and I know he's been dealing with that, but yet some, you know, I mean, again, volunteer dedication to this network. He still turned around and came up with part 4 for us this week. So thank you, Mr. Shears. I hope you and your family are doing all right with what you're dealing with. But here we go. Part 4 of Lennon on Lennon, Blame It on Bermuda. Hit it, Bob.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is part 4 of Lennon on Lennon, Blame It on Bermuda. In this segment, we'll hear John arrange cleanup time with his band in the studio. And on this portion of the session, John works out some counterpoint with guitarist Earl Slick and drummer Andy Newmark.
You and me together. The gods are in the heavens. See, look, hold it. You can have all those holes, Slick. They're all yours. But listen to what I'm saying. You see? So we don't do, we're not going to do the guys we did yesterday. Right? Moonlight's on the water. You, and then gods are in the heavens. So you hear the words. Un, deux, trois, quatre. Un, deux, trois, quatre. On y mange les chalipons. On s'y fonce, on s'y fonce. Et là, I've got ants in my pants. Moonlight on the water. Gods and me together. I'd like more backbeat from Andy. Gods are in the heavens. The oracle has spoken. Cast a magic spell. Let it begin. Show those murders how to do it. Clean up town. You're all, you can go, Slick. Oh, sir. I forgot, I was thinking about Slick. You see, you've got all them holes. You can fill all those holes you want. Yeah, what I'm doing, because I'm thinking about the piano more, is leaving every other line out. But you know the space is the same anyway. It's ba 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 ba.
And when it's all done, the final mix sounds like this.
Bubble, bubble. Counting out the money. The king is in the kitchen. Made
next week, part 5 of Lennon on Lennon, Blame It on Bermuda. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the next installment. And where he gets this footage, I cannot even imagine what his archives are like. I mean, you know,
if he told us, he'd have to kill us.
Oh, I know. But, you know, I listen to that stuff, and I'm going, you know, I am privy to that kind of activity in a studio and have been, you know, from time to time over my life. But it's such a great insight to get a feel for what it's like during the actual creation process. You know, you can't explain it the way that hearing it, you know, just lays it all out. I just think it's amazing.
Absolutely. And by way of a little bit of explanation of what I said earlier, I mentioned during my show this evening this horrifying piece of recording that I ran across back in the day, and ELO, our super moderator in the chat room, ran out and found it. So we're going to run that, but then to sort of take the bad taste out of everybody's mouth, if you don't mind, John, I've got a new track from one of our dear musician friends that I think people will get a big charge out of. So we'll do the bitter, then we'll do the sweet. Would that be all right?
Okay. Yeah, what is the bitter? I missed this bit.
It is Sebastian Cabot, actor, reads Bob Dylan, poet.
Oh, that! Okay, right on.
And it's bad.
Is it worse than Shatner's album?
It makes Shatner's album enjoyable. You'll see what I mean. In the meantime, we do have a phone call.
Oh, okay. Who we
got? I don't know. We'll find out in a second. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, dear.
Hey, Susan.
Oh, God, you're really going to inflict that on us, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, before you do, and this is going back to something else you mentioned, Bob, about how this thing that you have birthed is more or less kind of dissolving any chance of having a family time. May I remind you of the title of another song?
Yeah.
By Harry Chapin.
Yeah, Cats in the Cradle,
Cats
sure.
Cats in the Cradle.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I subject the rest of my life to the same scrutiny that I subject the show, so, yeah, I've whistled that a couple of times.
Yeah. Given a choice between the kids and the show.
It's not a choice between the kids and the show.
Or the network.
It's not a choice between the kids and the network. It is simply that some things interfere with other things sometimes. That particular day, we went to the dentist, and I talked about it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the day-to-day struggle to be to make ends meet with a whole lot of air in between the ends.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm there too. Crap rolls downhill, and you're generally standing right in the way of everything that's coming at you.
And like I said, either tonight or last night, you can't stop an avalanche with a wall.
And also part of the reason that you know we do this thing is, and I don't want to speak for you, Bob, but part of the reason why this project is so important and having this vehicle for these ideas to get out is partially because of your kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's what I keep trying to go at hammer and tongs on. You know, we had a little bit of defeatism along the way earlier tonight. And the fact that it's not just politics. I mean, I'm looking at an email right now that tells me, and I quote, who gets into the White House has already been predetermined. I can't buy in.
Don't buy into that.
I can't. I have a hard time with predeterminism because it's Calvinist.
Yeah.
And Calvin said, if you're born and God likes you, you'll be rich. And if you're poor, that just means God doesn't like you and you're going to hell. I don't buy determinism. And so, consequently, maybe it's just because I like a good fight. But I can't just sit there and say, well, with everybody, get the popcorn. I've got a seat for the apocalypse. Can't do that. Can't do that.
Yeah, well, that was what made me reject the whole concept of original sin. I said, give me a break. Not buying into this crap.
And you shouldn't.
I understand where you're coming from, Bob. Yeah, I do.
Mainly it's a matter of frustration, and it's a matter of getting away and trying to find a way to get away. I'd love to, love to do the beach vacation, but can't do that right now.
And being a juggler.
Yeah. And when you got ten plates in the air, dropping one's the same as dropping them all.
Uh-huh. And I have to tell you, Bob, you and John are both consummate jugglers.
Well, thank you.
I can't do what you guys do.
But please understand, we do what we do because you and ELO and Lottie and Gene and others whose names I will forget and therefore feel like crap later for having done so, do what you do. Agnes, Wayne,
Betsy,
Coal River Mountain Watch. Nobody is carrying all of the weight here.
Oh, no.
So,
But let me put it this way. I love you guys to death or to pieces or whatever.
as we do you. Thank you, Susan.
Nice to be in love.
Love you.
Agnes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Love your work, darling.
Bye-bye.
And that's...
That explains everything right there. That explains why we continue to, pick up the plates when we drop them and continue to try and keep the juggle going. When we first started this thing, I would never have imagined that we would have gone hammer and tong as long as we have.
And long as we will continue.
Yeah. I'm not trying to infer that there's any end in sight. That's not it. Actually, we're looking at new ways to grow this thing in ways, there are plans down the road. There are things being put together. I mean, you talk about the concept of there possibly being a bit of a documentary. I think that's brilliant. If I'm able to, grab some footage of me doing the show here, I can just see a competent filmmaker with a little bit of CGI showing the footage of me hooking up, and then some sort of animation of the tubes of the internets, and my signal flying down all the cables and ending up popping out, through your computer in the
studio. Or maybe in the animation it hits a plug in the tubes and somewhere and in a far distant voice John Fox screaming, "Damn it!" And then it picks up and goes on some more. and as far as other stuff that's going on, is it safe to let dare we let this little kitten out of the bag, John? There's another song in the works.
Well, yeah, and we'll see. Yeah, Bob sent me a lyric this morning, which is hysterical, and this is not based on any popular song. So this isn't the parody thing. This is actually an original thing. And about a half an hour before I attempted to log on to connect for the horn section, I was, I had enough of watching bits fly by between my laptop and servers and other things that I was working on. So I just, I pulled the acoustic out and I started looking at the lyric and started coming up with the basics of what is a possibility for music to go and drive the lyric which you have written. And I can see this coming about in not too much time, because it's going to be a little bit of, you know, a country kind of just guitar thing. And but I mean, this is this is part of what amazes me about, you know, what we've ended up doing. You know, how many other hosts out there in this, you know, business, and I use the term lightly as business, but you know, not only host the shows, but engineer the shows, do all the technical engineering to actually make the possibility for it to run, write original music or parody music, record, produce it, and it's all done by the same handful of people.
I know, and see, that's the thing. So we've got this body of work, and the reason to keep at it, John, is because somewhere down the road we run into someone, and we say, "Look what we've done! Imagine what we could do with funding.
Imagine what we could do with a little bit of staff."
Yeah.
You know, I think of, you know, if you weren't producing all day, like you do, which does my head in just the thought of, you know, 5 days a week. No paid engineer would be able do it. You know, your head would be fried, and I know yours gets there. But you know, if you only had your show to do, you and I would actually probably be on the line together working out the specifics on this song together. But no, we do it a bit piecemeal, and it's a bit of like, you know, here's the ball, and this is what I've done with it. And then I'll add something to it and throw it back to you and go, "Hey, what do you think?" And you go, "Oh, well, that's good, that's crap. Here, throw it back, and I'll work on it some more." And so, you know, the process takes a little bit more time than if we were able to focus. And again, this is not bitch, moan, complain. This is the reality of what we do, and we do it because we want to.
Yeah, and that's why I just sent you a PM there, John, saying, "Do you have Bob Seger's Turn the Page?" Because that's what I don't want this to be. I mean, this is just a little bit of behind the scenes, you know, sort of rapping about it and dealing with the frustration. Yeah, not the frustration of the job, so to speak, but the frustration of the pressure cooker. This seemingly artificial pressure cooker that has put
we put ourselves into.
Well, yeah, but to sit and bitch about it, like, in, you know, on a long and lonely highway east of Omaha, you know, I'm getting $75,000 a show and my life sucks, you know, is that, yeah. No, that's not it.
I look forward to doing my show every day, pretty much, you know, because all the other stuff that I'm doing is, you know, is frustrating in some way, shape, or form. This is something I want to do. So no matter how frustrating the rest of my day has been, you know, trying to deal with, you know, server issues or people's problematic websites or whatever it is, which is, you know, what I do for a living, I get to get on air at least for an hour or two a day.
And make it all go away.
And let it all just fly. And I get to and I get to exercise the demons, which is a wonderful thing. It gives me the same vehicle or a similar vehicle as music has throughout my life, to be able to just let it go. And you know, it's a form of expression that I wouldn't, you know, ever since, you know, the first couple of Fourth Estate radio shows back in the old days with Bruce, I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. And this is, you know, this is part of you know, Gail's a big fan of the Seth books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reoccurring thing. She'll read these things to me from time to time, how, you know, the true nature of God is creation. and there and the fact that you know, artists, you know, it, actually living life is living through the drive to create, and that's something that we all get to do every day or once a week or whatever it is, depending on the host, and it's that creation. So all the other stuff that we juggle is to make it possible to create, and that is actually living life.
Precisely. So, you know, just to put some, just to put some sort of a point on it, the circuit, what I think we're both talking about are the circumstances. Everything, and so many people have said, you know, and you said, you know, this campaign has been going on. I mean, I was sitting in my father's house, just having buried him, when in separate churches in Selma, Alabama, Senators Obama and Clinton showed up to deliver speeches over a year ago. And it's been Clinton, Obama, Clinton, Obama, Clinton, Obama. And meanwhile, all the good ideas of Biden, he had some. Dodd, he had some. Heaven knows, Kucinich, John Edwards, just, you know, never mind.
Plenty.
And that, yeah, he had a nation's salvation worth. And I just got corrected. I said something about predetermination, and the writer wrote back and said, no, I can't believe you would go there. Can't believe you made such a comparison. Predetermined means PNAC, not John Calvin. You know, and but by the same token, not to make excuses, John, you've heard him and I've heard him too. You said in the last hour, you know, I don't want to do an hour of environmental gloom and doom.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you're actually paying attention, the environmental stuff is pretty gloomy. No,
yeah,
it's really gloomy.
And if I didn't have a sense of humor, and if I didn't have the ability to break out and laugh, I would have put my head through a wall a long time ago, you know. And if I didn't have Gail, I probably would have collapsed a long time ago.
Exactly. And speaking of making people want to collapse,
now you're going to get there.
let's get this out of the way so then we can play some nice music.
Okay.
I mentioned this on the show earlier tonight. Just as an example of lyrics gone terribly, terribly wrong. Everybody knows Bob Dylan's "Like a Rolling Stone," right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, most people like it. It's a compelling lyric. Well, remember Mr. French from Family Affair, Buffy and Sissy?
Yes, I.
Uncle Bill,
yeah,
you know, holler in. French, come in here. Yes, sir. Take Buffy and Jody down to the park and pimp them for a while, and bring me back a bottle of liquor. Yeah. Sebastian Cabot, you know, classical training, everything like that. But you know, what makes people think that this is a good idea? Yeah, this should never have happened. This is Sebastian Cabot, actor, reading Bob Dylan. Pivot. Roll it, Bob. Leaving your mic open, John, for the laughter.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. You threw the bums a dime in your prime, didn't you?
Didn't you?
People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall.
Say,
you thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now, you don't talk so loud. Now, you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging for your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown. Like a rolling stone. We've gone to the finest school, all right, Miss Lonely.
Say, what?
I bet this arrangement cost a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
You live on the street now, you got to get used to it. You said you'd never compromise with the mystery tramp. But now you realize he ain't selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and ask him, you want to make a deal? How's it feel? How does it feel?
Always pissed.
To be without a home, like a complete unknown.
To be well, huh?
Like a rolling stone. You never turned round to see the frowns on the jugglers and the clowns when they all came down and did tricks for you? Never understood that it ain't no good. You should let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on the chrome horse with your diplomat who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Yeah. Ain't it hard when you discover that he really wasn't where it's at after he took from you everything he could steal? How does it feel? Huh? How does it feel?
Huh?
To be without a home, like a complete unknown. Like a rolling stone.
Oh, my God, this is awful.
Princess on the steeple and all the pretty people drinking, thinking they've all got it made, exchanging all kinds of precious gifts and things. But you better lift your diamond ring. You better pawn it, babe. Used to be so amused at Napoleon and his rags and the language that he used. Well, go to him now. He calls you. You can't refuse. When you've got nothing to lose. Oh, you're invisible now. You got no secrets to conceal. How's it feel? How's it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown. Like a rolling stone.
Oh, my God.
There's
that is just torturous. That's the kind of thing that, you know, that, you know.
I told you Shatner would feel like quality when we were done. You're right. Oh. The arrangement probably cost a fortune, and it was on a major label. Or, you know, with the complete with the, you know, the big album photo and the big write up on the back and, you know, the works. And that
ELO's saying he got paid for this.
And it's are those vibes? It's not a marimba.
You know, the accordion thing.
You know.
I could imagine the session musicians when they're in there going, oh, I'm so glad I'm getting paid a couple hundred an hour for this.
Well, you know, it's one of those Daffy Duck moments. Eh, it's a living.
Oh, my God.
I was going to be a genius. I was a prodigy. I was the hottest thing since Little Mozart. And I'm in a recording studio playing the vibes, playing the xylophone for Sebastian Cabot. And see, the thing is, he was a classically trained actor. And drinking, you couldn't have gotten Sebastian Cabot to mispronounce a word with a gun to his head. Drinking and thinking. And that's why it sounds so horribly, horribly artificial. Oh, it's painful.
Well,
and I've got more. I've got more.
Oh, okay.
I've got more. Let's just get this out of the way real quick. Because it's, I don't know, it's like some sort of poison titration therapy. I happen to spend years becoming used to iocane powder. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know, maybe this will, we'll stop this ahead of time, but just to let you know that, I mean, this isn't the one bad cut. Okay, I'm going to make the call on this one. One more.
Okay.
What?
Oh, come. The sappy strings around. In the choir. It's just awful to begin with.
And admit that the waters around you have grown. and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
To the bone.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you'd better start swimming.
Sounds like a bank ad.
For the times, they are a-changing. Come, writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide.
Stop, please.
I was waiting for the begging to begin.
This is your revenge for me bringing up the Mandicello yesterday. I know what you're up to.
Don't mess with me.
Oh, that's just horrible. When I heard the female choir, the angelic choir kick in, I'm just going, oh my God, the acid must have been good. You did say that you had something to clean the brain after that. Please bring that on.
I do, but just one more, please. Just a little bit.
How many roads must the man walk down before you can call him a man? Yes, and how many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
Just wait.
Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
The answer was in the bong water. Oh, my God!
Oh, it's painful. It's just painful.
I mean, I'm sitting there wondering, you know, this thing being, you know, proposed to Dylan, and him going, yeah, I'll take the check, yeah, sure.
You paying for the rights? Did the check clear? No, wait, let's do this thing. Did the check clear? Well, yes, it did, Mr. Dylan. Then I don't care.
I hope no one ever hears it. Oh, that's just awful.
And there are a million of them. See, one of the first stations I ever worked at, John, had an entire room that had a 14-foot ceiling. And the room was probably 20 by 20. And every wall was consumed with shelves, and every shelf was filled to bursting with vinyl.
Ooh.
And it was all bad. I mean, this was like, I came in because we had switched over to News Talk, and that was where I was program director. And all of that was the music. It was like your bad music station, WVNA. And I mean, that got played? Really? Coming up.
You're home for bad taste.
Coming up, more Sebastian Cabot actor reads Bob Dylan poet on your bad music station. I mean, the, like I said, there was the Ethel Merman disco album.
Now that I could almost see being comical.
Mrs. Miller's Greatest Hits. That's the song that the Agnes used to torment me with. When I'd been bad on the air, she would play Mrs. Miller singing Hard Day's Night.
I remember that.
There were legions of Andy Griffith albums. Destry and Destry Rides Again. You know, it was, you know, and none of the top shelf stuff. You know, of that style of stuff, none of the good stuff, because I think the old PD had stolen all of it, because, you know, he sat around and, like, dug it. But no, there is one more to fit in. We have a very dear friend who's been on my show. His name's John Coons. And this is one of his. And I think everybody's going to dig it, especially after the Ipecac and Paregoric that we put in front of it.
It's going to feel like a bloodletting.
Oh, no, this is just going to feel so good on so many levels. It's called When You Dance. And he's got a new album coming out very, very soon. We'll have him on to talk about it. There's some other stuff that's positively stunning. But this just kind of, to sort of lift us up out of the funk and the fog. When You Dance, John Kuntz. Isn't it?
That is, there. I mean, it's.
Just I've been bebopping around the studio to that for a couple of days now.
That is awesome. It's got this. It's got, you know, there's something very Beatlesque about the guitars, but yet there's something very Tom Petty about the vibe. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's kind of like a really good cologne because it's got. It's got a top and a middle and an end, you know, that all combine at one time. And
I love the electric 12 string. It's great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Was that a 12?
That sounded to me very much like a Rick 12. I could be wrong, but it did have that sound to me, like you know, reminiscent of the Birds.
Yeah, the jangle.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Great song. The guy's something else, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And what a guy to hang out with, and what a career, and what a human being. Just a tremendous person. Yeah. 'Cause this is the same guy that wrote the Emmett Till song. that wrote the last off his last album, the Iraq song that just blew us all away. So I'm hoping when the new album does come out that John will be on the show and we can share some tracks and maybe, you know, because, you know, the other thing I love about this, it is fresh and it's real and it's straight from the heart. It hasn't been focus grouped or any of that, none of that stuff you were talking about a couple of weeks ago either was there.
No, it doesn't suffer, at least from what I heard there. And you have sent me the track, and I haven't actually had a listen to it, you know, without coming over our little connection here yet. And I will have a listen, but it breathes. It doesn't sound like it's been so overcompressed and overmastered, where, you know, you got to hear everything all the time, regardless of, you know, audio equipment quality and all that kind of crap. It sounds really natural. It sounds great. I'm really impressed with that.
Wait till you hear that with a little bit of volume behind it.
I'm sitting there thinking, if FM radio still had any of its
integrity,
had any life. Yeah, integrity, life, programmability from the local angle, you know, it, that would be something that if I were a programmer, I'd be like, yeah, let's get that bugger in rotation, you know, that's
well,
awesome.
You can't listen to it and be still. And that's so refreshing these days, just because, I mean, there's so much of the stuff I hear is just like, yeah, I'm going to sit and listen to some music now.
I was sitting here drumming along on my thighs through the whole thing. It's great, you know. It's just great fun, you know. Great song structure, and I really liked the harmony vocal on the verse section. Really simple, but man, does it come through with some impact while the band is just kicking along.
Yeah,
you can picture a band playing that.
Good party tune. You can see the band, you can see the room, you can see the people with their hands in the air, watching a room get excited just with the sheer joy of dancing.
I don't know if you caught in the chat room, Yellow said, sounds like a great song to play at election night after Obama gives McSame the boot.
Ain't that the
truth? Regardless of who it is, we pull through this thing and win. I reckon you should lock that one in as the victory song, and you know the chat room can just go off and have a bit of a virtual dance.
And I think we
great
will.
Song.
I think we will.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and I imagine us being us, we will have full election night coverage that night, so that if something goes disastrously wrong, we can keep each other out of the warm tub. But if everything goes right, we will have one hell of a party on air.
Yeah, if it all goes right, we'll be drinking at the end of the night. If it's going really sour, you'll hear the bottles opening during the process.
Yeah, and we'll break our no impaired radio vow. Thanks for doing this, John. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I just wasn't up for doing the same thing. And, you know, being that it was, you know, also a night with Billy Shears, you know, I was sitting there going, you know, I had a few things lined up here, and I'm thinking, you know, we're gonna end up having this great thing, you know, an insight into good old, you know, John Lennon and a bit of musical history. And then I'm going to come in and, you know, just like kind of like throw a big whopping, you know, hot turd on it all. And it just was not what I was into tonight, man.
Big steaming stinker.
Yeah. And...